This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and we will begin today with a Florida prosecutor's report that concludes a Boston FBI agent was justified in the shooting death of a suspect that he was interviewing last May. The agent, along with two Massachusetts state police officers, were in Florida interrogating Ibrahim Tadashev, who was friends with the suspected Boston Marathon bombers and implicated in a 2011 triple murder in Waltham.
This is the first official account of what happened last May. According to the report, after initially cooperating with the officers, Tadashev attacked them, prompting the FBI agent to shoot him seven times, including in the head and back. State Attorney Jeffrey Ashton said accounts by the agent and state police officers, as well as forensic evidence, suggest the shooting was justified as self-defense. Joining us from Orlando is WBUR's David Boeri, who's been following this story closely. And David, good to have you with us.
Hi, Anthony.
So a lot of detail in this report. What stands out to you?
The totality of it, Anthony. This is not only a case where the state attorney has cleared the FBI agent in the shooting of Ibrahim Tadashev, ruling that, in fact, it was justified. But this is a total vindication of that agent and the state troopers from Massachusetts. It sort of reminds me of Home on the Range, where hardly is heard a discouraging word. That's what I take away from that report.
And David, tell us a little bit. Go into some of the timeline, because it really is, I have to say, it's riveting reading. They go into a lot of detail about what happened, according to the agents and the police officers who were there.
Yeah, it's laid out in 161 pages in the main report, and then there are another 529 pages of attachments. But let's go to the heart of it, and that's what leads up to the shooting. It is a description, and remember, Anthony, this is the first time since May that we have heard any kind of official accounting. And here's what the state attorney basically has ruled, that during that conversation over the course of 5 hours, Ibrahim Tadashev had implicated himself in that triple homicide in Waltham. He's described as being fully cooperative, although his demeanor changed when the subject got more and more to his own culpability. What we now know is that he signed a Miranda waiver. And in addition to signing the Miranda waiver, he declined having a lawyer present, according to the report. In addition, at some point, he started talking about whether or not he could smoke in jail. And that, of course, goes to his sense of culpability. He says at one point, he's quoted as saying, according to the reports that the state attorney is relaying here, "Okay, I'm telling you, I was involved in it, okay? I had no idea, blank, redacted, gonna kill anyone." That presumably was Tamerlan Tsarnaev. So that he goes on and he implicates himself. Another point, he says, all I thought it was going to be, he just said it was going to be a robbery. So now we have Tadashev implicating himself and, of course, Tsarnaev in what happened there. At that point, and we're told, by the way, that audio and video recording, secretly made, we can talk about that in a moment, Anthony, record him making his confession and also starting to sign the written confession.
David, two things I want to ask you. I want to ask you about, let's talk about those recordings since you brought them up. So at one point, the report says the interview was recorded, but then the recording device was shut off. Do we know precisely when and why the recording was stopped?
So this, by the way, is consistent with what I've been reporting all along, Anthony, based on my sources and sources that heard that account by the state trooper. The claim is made that batteries were running out. The trooper was recording this on his cell phone. He was making audio and video recordings. Remember, this took place over a course of 4 hours. So perhaps it's plausible that, in fact, he was concerned about the batteries and it was shut off before Tadashev started writing his written confession, although the video also shows him getting that statement, getting his Miranda statement and other things that seem to support the state attorney's case. By the way, Florida is a two-party consent state. with one exemption, and that involves law enforcement. At some points, it's clear from this report that Todashev was telling the state trooper, stop, don't record that, don't record that. On the other hand, according to them, he had already waived his Miranda rights.
I see. David, how does State Attorney Jeffrey Ashton justify seven shots, including some of those in to Todashev's head and back?
So the shots come in two bursts of gunfire, and what Ashton says in quoting the medical examiner, that he did not consider that suspicious given what was described as happening and in totality of the other wounds. So what we know is that late in the night, just at the midnight hour, Anthony, one of the state troopers walked outside the house, leaving one FBI agent and one trooper inside. At this point, Todashev wanted to break. He wanted to go to the bathroom. He wanted more cigarettes. They became suspicious of him. And at 12:04, according to the reports that are released today, suddenly he threw the table up at the FBI agent who was looking the other way, striking him in the back of the head. The agent would be hospitalized and have to have stitches later on. And then there is kind of chaos in the room, as described. And it was described to me before, according to the account from the state trooper. Suddenly, Todashev is said to be running, not for the glass sliding doors that would have let him get out of the place, but into the kitchen, where he looks to be searching for something. He comes out, according to the report, with a metal mop handle. And at that point, he is going after the trooper, and both of them say, there's no doubt in my mind that Todashev intended to kill both of us, the FBI agent is quoted as saying. The state trooper says he would have split my skull open were it not for the fact that the FBI agent shot him. The FBI agent is described as firing 3 to 4 times. Todashev goes down on his knee and then springs forward. There are descriptions of his athleticism here that seem rather remarkable, but he springs forward and then the agent fires 3 more shots, dropping Todashev, perhaps 4, and from there he doesn't get up.
Mm. Final question, David, and you've talked about this with us before, and that is Todashev was an expert in martial arts. That was known. The attorney's report even describes him as a fearless fighter. Yet the officers decided to interview him in his house instead of at a more secure location. Did the attorney's report say anything about that decision on the part of state police officers and FBI agents?
That's surprising, Anthony, because in fact he just passes it over, accepts it for what it was, that they thought it would be better to interview him at his home rather than at the FBI office, which he had indicated he didn't want to go to. And yet there's so much here because he is rated, the report, the officers, the agent describe him as 8 on a scale of 10 in terms of danger. We know he's a martial artist. They describe him in his athleticism. And in fact, the state attorney at one point says there was no quit in the fight, almost romantically describing his forcefulness and his intensity. And yet they continued to interview him at a place where he was most at advantage, where he knew where the weapons were, obviously. And when they had a chance at some point, when they were looking for the warrant, when he had made incriminating statements, at some point they could have brought him in to a safe place, namely the FBI office, where he would not have been a threat to anyone. They didn't do that. And the bottom line here, by the way, Anthony, is that remember, and it's not stated in this report, the catastrophe this was, because not only were the agents and the cops in fear of their own lives, and they were jeopardized, but they took the one person they had identified as the only eyewitness to that triple homicide in Waltham, and in the course of 2 hours, they were in a situation where they eliminated him and whatever he might know about Tamerlan Tsarnaev and that triple homicide.
Oh, boy. WBUR's David Boeri reporting from Orlando, Florida, on the state attorney's report about the shooting death of Ibrahim Todashev. David, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And let's turn now to Carol Rose, executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. Carol Rose, good to have you.
Great. Nice to be here. Thank you.
So when news of this report leaked out on Friday, you released a statement that said we still don't know what happened nor why explanations from those who were present at the shooting death have been inconsistent. Do you feel better about understanding what happened there today?
Well, I mean, I think this is a good, if very small, first step towards transparency and thus accountability. But in so many ways, this report raises far more questions than it answers. You know, the scope of State Attorney Ashton's report, it was really limited. That's namely what happened in that room at that moment kind of report.
So what kind of questions does it raise that you would like answers to?
Well, I mean, first of all, it raises questions about why FBI protocols weren't followed. For example, having more than one agent in the room at a time, why was he, that's an FBI protocol, why was he not in any way restrained if they knew he was dangerous ahead of time? Why did they not take some safety precautions? It raises questions about the role of the Massachusetts State Police. Even within this report, it's unclear and actually contradictory about why they were there in the first place. Was it because of the Boston Marathon bombing or the Waltham triple homicide? Under whose authority were they there, and under whose authority were they recording, since apparently the FBI has a policy of not recording interrogations, although I think they should, and then they didn't even release their tape recordings to the investigator until much later, and it's not clear where those recordings are now. Why did they turn the recording off right before the shooting took place? And then it raises questions about the investigation itself. Why were witnesses in the neighborhood not actually interviewed until 5.5 months later? What about all the other people who are somehow related to Dadashev? Why have all of them either been deported from the country or not allowed back in if they left on their own? Mm. So there are so many questions here. And, you know, this gets to the Massachusetts, two Massachusetts crimes, horrific crimes, a triple homicide and the Boston Marathon bombing. The fact that we're having to rely on a local prosecutor, a local official down in Florida to do an investigation, when it turns out from this report that the role of the Massachusetts State Police was much greater than any of us had realized before.
So you've called on the Attorney General Martha Coakley to assign the State Civil Rights Division to investigate the role of the Mass State Police in this shooting?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Attorney General in Massachusetts oversees the State Police. And so we believe that her jurisdiction extends wherever their official duties extend. So if they, in fact, had the authority to be down in Florida, if they, in fact, had the authority to be down there because they were investigating crimes that took place in Massachusetts, it makes sense that the authority to make sure that they were abiding by both the Florida laws but also Massachusetts laws and protocols would also extend to the role of the Attorney General, whose job it is to oversee it. You know, if someone dies...
No, but let me just stop you there, because Martha Coakley has said that she lacks that jurisdiction. I mean, isn't she right about that, given that we're talking about the actions of a federal agent in Florida?
Well, first of all, they were state troopers. They weren't federal agents. If, in fact, she's asserting that the FBI had somehow deputized state police to become federal agents, that raises even more serious questions. Is that a way to get around accountability and transparency? Do we merely need to deputize local police as FBI agents for the moment so that we can avoid any kind of accountability? So either way, it raises really serious concerns. I think she does have jurisdiction, but if she doesn't, that raises even more serious questions.
Well, we know the FBI has cleared the agent involved here. State Attorney Jeffrey Ashton said of this review today that the incident is now complete. Do you think it is, or what further steps can people like you who are concerned take to push for a clearer understanding of what happened?
Well, I think there's a couple things. So I don't think this closes or settles the public questions that are out there. We still don't know what's happened with the triple homicide investigation. We don't have any idea. We still haven't seen the autopsy report. The tape recordings that allegedly took place, we don't know under whose authority they were. Those tape recordings and video recordings were made by the Massachusetts State Police, and where are they now? Why were all the witnesses or anyone related to Dadashev exiled from our country so that they couldn't become people to present evidence? You know, we've had two really horrific crimes committed in our state, and there's a huge amount of information that's lacking and a lot of questions there. And I think as long as those questions are out there, the public trust is not going to be restored. And I think that Attorney General Martha Coakley is in a very good position to help restore that public trust and, short of that, perhaps a congressional investigation.
All right. Well, there's Carol Rose, Executive Director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. Carol Rose, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
Well, stay with us, because coming up, we'll take an in-depth look at the remarkable first year of Pope Francis, and we'll do so with longtime Vatican reporter John Allen. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.